And I wanted to talk about the essential reminder of Megillas Rus. And one of the questions that comes up is, why do we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos? Why do we read Megillas Shavuos? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of answers which are raised, which are, you may have heard over the years. But I really want to focus on one essential theme, which is discussed, but is perhaps underemphasized, and I think it needs to be underscored. And that is, you know, if we think about what the Torah and what a Torah life is supposed to teach us and dictate to us. So if we think about what the Torah is, you know, is about, I mean, how would you summarize, let's say, the essence of the Torah in a sentence or two? Now, what is the Torah life, what is the Torah's teaching supposed to elicit from us in terms of how we act as human beings?
The guides to living.
But
if you had to summarize it in, let's say, you know, a theme or a sentence or an idea or a principle, what would you say?
It's a guide.
Moral code.
No, I'm saying, but what? Yeah, obviously, but I mean, look, be a little bit of a Lamdan. You know, how do people in certain elements of our tradition, what do they focus on to say this is what the Torah is all about?
Code of ethics.
A relationship.
On one hand.
Hello. We're in a different planet. You're a guy, let's say you're a fellow by the name of Rabbi Akiva. Let's say you're a fellow by the name of Hillel. You know, well, how do you describe the Torah to somebody else? It's an ethical guide. Okay, so is a, you know, maybe a rabbi.
The guide for men.
Okay, so you're talking about being, you know, the concept of being Adam Lachavero, how you relate to your fellow man. Okay, that's, you know, that's basically.
You're talking on a more spiritual level.
It's
God's gift.
I'm not talking on a spiritual level.
The human race as.
No, I'm not. I'm saying, let's say, you know, it's like I mean, John. What John just said is kind of the backwards of what Hillel said to the potential convert. The potential convert says, "I want to convert." Okay. Well, here's the Torah in a nutshell. Don't do unto others if you don't want to be done unto you. That's a summary of the Torah, right? He says the rest is an explanation, Zilgamar. What's Rabbi Akiva? You have to learn Rabbi Akiva, right? That's an essential element or an essential principle of the Torah. Is you have to learn Rabbi Akiva, right? Is that Klal Gadol b'Torah? And then everything else is just a subsection of that principle. Okay, I mean, in other words, something specific, but a central theme. So, when we look at Megillas Rus, the question is, what central theme does it focus on, and how does that relate, perhaps, to the timing of the holiday on which we read it? The holiday on which we read it is, of course, Shavuos. And Shavuos, while in the Torah, since the holiday of Shavuos is really an agricultural holiday, because the Torah doesn't ascribe to Shavuos, you know, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, that Shavuos is around the same time as the Torah was given is certainly, is likely more than coincidental. But the idea of Shavuos is not, at least from the Torah side, Torah's perspective. Never is the holiday of Shavuos what it's described. Is it attached to the giving of the Torah? And that's very clear. You open up every time it talks about it. It says, well, you know, V'sefar Talacha Sheva Shavuos Bimos Siena.
Versus all of the above in it.
Right, but I'm gonna posit that it has even more. Okay.
it's the acceptance. Rus's acceptance and her cleaving to Hashem, her desire to be.
Mm-hmm.
Her marriage to Hashem.
Right. So there are two elements. There are two. No, not her marriage to Hashem.
Her marriage to
commitment.
Commitment.
Okay. Careful when you say marriage to Hashem. Okay.
Somebody else did that.
Yeah. I'm comparing it to her Sinai for.
Right. Okay. I got you.
The other way I look at it is, it's the really perfect case of a perfect heir.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Being
Right, but if you...
Subject to the trials and tribulations of converting and then getting accepted.
Right. Fair enough.
Doing the right thing.
But if you had to summarize the Torah, would you say that it's all about Gerus?
Man,
not the Torah.
No. Right. Okay. So that, but that, and that's my point. That we're trying to figure out in what way does the Book of Rus jive with this celebration of the giving or the receiving of the Torah, giving and receiving of the Torah. Okay. So let's take a look now.
Just step back and drop.
Sure.
Before we received the Torah, in a way, it was like we were all Gerus.
Okay, and that's an important point, right? We have a mitzvah in the Torah, v'ahavta mitzvager, ki gerim hayisem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's an important thing to bear in mind, and I'm going to get to that. Okay, so let's take a look, just quickly, the top sources. These are all different points in the Torah where it describes some things related to Shavuos, some things related to the harvest season, even if it's not specifically related to Shavuos. Right, I mean, we know that the Ruth story takes place during this time period, because when Ruth comes, she goes to Boaz's field, and they're all harvesting, and they're collecting the things which have been left for the poor people. So let's take a look. Vayikra Yud Tes, Pasuk Tes. L'v'kutzuchem es kutzir atzuchem los chalap ha'asod chalap tzor v'dachik kutzir chalos v'akeit. And when you're harvesting your field, don't forget to leave behind the pe'ah, the corner, which is the peah, right, the corner of the field which you're supposed to leave aside, the leket kitzircha los laket, and the leket, those are things which, you know, fall out of the bundle as you're putting the bundle together. Okay, it's like a little, you know, a grain here, a grain there, or a stalk here, a stalk there. Okay, that's leket. V'char mechalos olel fer kamechalos laket le'aniv la'ger tazavu samani Hashem lekechem. So we're introduced to this principle of le'ani Vilager ta'azovos, that you have to leave things behind for the poor person and for the ger. Of course, when we think about a poor person, we think about a ger in the context of Megillas Rus. That's who she is. She is a pauper. She has nothing. She's left everything behind, and she, of course, is as we said, the ultimate convert. Take a look at Vayikra Chav Gimel on the left side. Vayikra Chav Gimel. So this is from Parshas Emor from a few weeks ago, where the Torah describes for us the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer leading up to the holiday of Shavuos. Sfartam lachem v'macharas ha-shavas miyom v'yachem v'somrat ha-mikvah shavah shepasos t'mimos t'yam. You're going to count 7 full weeks. Ad v'macharas ha-shavas ha-shavis t'isbru chamishim yom v'yikrav temen chachadosh al Hashem. So the 50th day is the holiday of Shavuos. Right? That's really a fun trivia question, is what's the date of holiday of Shavuos in the Torah? The answer is? Same, but the answer is, there isn't a date. The answer is, it's the 50th day of the, you know, after the count. The day after the counting of the Omer, the 50th day, you know, hypothetically, not that we count the 50th day, but it's the 50th day in that count. So you're going to be bringing Bikurim, and there's going to be a Chametz offering, which is unique because most offerings are supposed to be only with matzah. No Chametz is certainly to be brought on the Mizbeach. Not that these offerings are brought on the Mizbeach, but they're an offering of Chametz. Just talking more about what the carbon is going to look like. Skip to Pasuk Chaf. So the Kohen will wave this stuff over the bread of the Bikurim, over the two sheep. So be'etzam hayom hazeh, in the midst of this day, you're going to be calling this day Yom Tov, uv'kutzuchem es kitzir etzachem, which is echoes what we read before in Vayikra Yitas, uv'kutzuchem es kitzir etzachem lo sechala pe'as sadecha b'kutzrecha v'leket kitzircha. So that pasuk of Beis is kind of like a summary of the pasuk Tes and Yud, which we saw in Vayikra Yitas, and that when it comes to the peah and the leket, you're going to leave it behind for the ani and the ger. Okay, and again, that reminds us of Rus, but it's not just about an ani and a ger. We have other principles as well. Take a look at the Dvarim Chav Dalet. This is in Pasuk Yitaz. So now we've talked about leket and peah. Now we're talking about shikcha. Right? If you've forgotten things behind. So in general, by the way, the principle of shikcha is that if you leave behind up to two up to two bundles, so you got to leave it. That's what it is. But if you've left behind more, then it's really considered to be a loss. So you can go back and get, I'm pretty sure you can go back and get the extra. You still have to leave the two behind, but you can go back and get it if it's more than two bundles. So that's shikha. So the Torah tells us, but if you left behind, you know, a bundle of shikha, something which you've forgotten, lo sashu l'kachto, do not return to take it. Lager layasom v'la amanagiya l'man yibrecha Hashem l'kecha b'chomaseyadecha. You have to leave it behind for the stranger or the convert, depending on how you translate that, for the orphan and for the widow. Kisach bod seyscha lo sfa'erachorecha lager layasom v'la amanagiya. So a similar type of ruling goes for your olive trees, to leave it for the ger yasom amana. Kisiv tzor kamachalo salel acharecha lager yasom amana. Yes, similarly with your vines. Bezacharta ki evra yisav eretz mitzrayim al kein anochim mitzavcha la'asos es hadavar hazeh. Why are you going to leave this stuff behind for the ger, the yasom, and the almana? Because you are strangers in Egypt, and so you understand what it's like to be desperate. You understand what it's like to be needy, and so you have to identify with the plight of the ger, the yasom, and the almana, and give them a chance to support themselves or sustain themselves in a manner which is respectful to them, chubadik to them, in a way that they're not begging. I mean, they're getting for themselves, but it's because you left it behind because of the way in which you harvested. One more in Dvar Chavav, you have a similar type of idea, and that is in Pasuk Yud-Beis. So that you have the mitzvah in the third year of Maaser. So again, you're looking out for these people. It throws the Levi in as well. The Levi, the Ger, Yasom, Lamana. And you're even going to make a declaration. What's the declaration? I've removed all the Kodesh from my house. In other words, referring to the Meiser. I've given it to the people I'm supposed to support. The Levi, the Ger, the Yasom, and the Almanah. I've done all the mitzvahs that I've been commanded, and I haven't violated anything. I've done exactly what you've been told, what I've been told to do. And therefore, in the conclusion of the statement that the person who has given these gifts will make, he's going to say to God, Hashkifam im own kashacham nishamayim, v'rechasam chos yisrael, v'yasadama shunasatalanu, kashar nishbat lavazen, v'yasavatsal abadabash. Now that I've been so benevolent and I've fulfilled exactly what you've asked me to do in terms of my care for my fellow man, you God, please, Hashkifam im own kashacham, look down upon us from your lofty place, v'rechasam chos yisrael, and bless your nation, the Asadama, and the land. Okay, and the point is to pull out of what we have done, in other words, how we have followed what God has told us to do, and to hopefully be blessed to get further bounty and further gifts from God on account of our fulfilling His wishes.
Are we talking about the next year or?
No, I mean, we're saying just bless it. Yeah, bless us now, bless us for the future. Absolutely. Okay, So far, what we've essentially seen is we've seen a concept of le'aniv la'ger ta'azovosam, and we've seen a concept of ger yasom la'amana. So I'd like to propose that one of the reasons why this Megillah Rus is being utilized at this time is because Rus embodies all of these. Rus is on the one hand ani for sure, a ger we know. Now we know that a ger, when a ger converts, a ger, you know, essentially loses certainly halachic ties to their family. So in that respect, Rus, we can consider her to be halachically a yasom, and certainly in her case, she's also an almana. So what Rus, in her own body, is she's the embodiment of all the types of people that need to be cared for. You know, by the society at large, by the Jewish society for sure. And so she becomes a case study in terms of, well, how is she going to be embraced? And Megillas Rus is you know, the what?
Blueprint.
Right, you said right. That's a good word. A blueprint for, as you said at the outset, for how to do it and for how to do it right. And it's not only that. I think that the other element of what, you know, I kind of alluded to it before, in Rabbi Akiva's statement of V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, okay, and in V'ahavta m'sager, there's three things in the Torah which we're commanded to love. I probably mentioned this before. I mention it every now and then. There's V'ahavta m'sager, V'ahavta l'recha kamocha, and we say it every day. V'ahavta, okay. So V'ahavta Misager would be portrayed with the acceptance of Rus, as we've talked about. The concept of V'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha would be, okay, well, now that we've taken her out of the status of Ger, and now she's like one of us, V'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. And then V'ahavta Misashem Elokecha, so that becomes a question of how much is that borne out in the text of the Megillah Rus. And it's really a fascinating insight. When you think about it, do we see the people living out this idea of V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha in the same way that we know that they're doing V'ahavta Misager? Well, are they even doing that? You know, you have the relative who says, no, I'm not marrying Ruth. So, like, you know, he's, you know, why is his name left out? Right? Ploni Almoni. Like, maybe that's his name, some people say, but Ploni Almoni we know is like, you know, okay, we're not mentioning you by name because you don't deserve mention because you failed. Why should you get well, you know, we don't want to embarrass you, but there's nothing, you know, and there's no credits here. So let's take a look. Well, I'm not going to go through all these psukim, but we'll see. Rus Perek Aleph is I gave you from when they leave after when they leave. You know, Moab, after the deaths of Elimelech, Mahlon, and Kilion, and Naomi is returning with Rus and Orpah, and she tells them a few times, she says, you know, that it's time for you to go back. Okay? Pasuk Ches, and in where it says Rus Aleph on the right side, in the middle. She says to them, go home. Let God do chesed with you as you've done with the deceased and with me. Okay, and that becomes, to a certain degree, the principal theme, I think, of what the Megillah of Rus is all about. It's the Megillah of chesed. Kashera asisem im hamisim ve'imadi, as you did with the deceased and with me. Yitain Hashem lachem umetzena menucha isha beis isha v'tishak lehem v'tishak lehem v'tivkena. Right, Naomi is talking about Hashem. Right, I mean, I skipped the pasuk before, but if you see pasuk vav, ki shama'a b'stei Moav ki fakar Hashem esamo l'seis lehem lachem, that she saw that Hashem had redeemed the nation and gave them bread again, and now she has Shem Hashem in her mouth over and over. Yas Hashem imachem chesed yitin Hashem lachem mutzan munucha, and they say, no, we're coming with you. And Naomi says, no, Yud Aleph, she says, no, show Nabonosai, lama say lachlim, yahu livanim b'me'ai, v'ayu lachem labadim, show Nabonosai, she's persistent, go home, kizakadim yosleish, I'm not going to have any children, even if I had a child now, you know, by the time you could marry him, it would be far along the road, and it's not worth it for you. And she pleads with them, and basically tells them, go home, pasuk, end of pasuk gimel, it's very difficult and painful for me to see you because you remind me of my past. Because God's hand, you know, went out against me, and I lost everything. Go home, follow Orpa. And Ruth says, nothing doing. And she says what is probably the most famous verses in Rus. She says, don't try to get me to leave. Ki el asher tel chi eleich, where you go, I go. B'asher tel lini alin, where you sleep, I sleep. Amech ami, your nation is my nation. Elohai ech lohai, and your God is my God. B'asher tel musi, emus v'sham ekaver, where you die, I'll die, and that's where I'll be buried. Ko yaseh Hashem li v'cho yosif, ki amaves yafrid bin yuvenech. Right? See, she also has God's name on her lips and saying, literally, till death do we part. So Naomi says she sees that it's to no avail. So they finally get to town, and shortly after that, Naomi, we're introduced to the concept of Boaz, even though we don't see him yet. And it's interesting the way he's described. That Boaz is a gibor chayil. Now, how many people in the Torah are described as a gibor chayil? Not that many. There are, but not that many. Okay. I heard this interesting line. This guy, he goes over to the rabbi and he says, Rabbi, my wife what can I say about my wife? She's not an Eishes Chayil. Okay? So the rabbi says, well, hold, let me ask you a question. She's not an Eishes Chayil? Okay. How do you, you know, and he's doing this all in Hebrew. He says, what do you call the wife of the prime minister? So he says, Eshed Rosh HaMemshala. Okay, very good. What do you call the wife of the chief rabbi? He says, Ishto Shel HaRav HaRashi. Right. What do you call the wife of the wife of the president? He says, Ishto Shel HaNasi. He says, and so what do you call an Eshed Chayil? So the guy says, Ishto Shel Chayil. Ah, so the guy, so the rabbi says, if she's not an Eishes Chayil, that means that you're not a Chayil. Okay, so you know, where does the flaw lie? So it's interesting because Boaz is called an Boaz is called an Ish Gibor Chayil, and then later on in Megillas Rus, if you look in the next next section which I gave you here, Rus Paragimel, so when Naomi concocts this whole plot that Rus is going to go to Boaz in the you know, out in the field, and she's gonna uncover his legs, and he'll wake up, and he'll see her there, and then he'll give her instructions what to do because she needs to be redeemed. So Boaz explains to her, you know, how they're gonna make this the plan. What does he say to her? Pasuk Yud, Vayomer Brucha At Lashem Biti, Etavt Chasdecho Acharon, and Arishon, Levotil Lechas Acharei Bacharim, Dali Mashir. And he talks about this concept of Chesed again. What's the Chesed that Ruth is doing? That she's only going to Boaz's field? What's the Chesed? She's, you know, she's basically surviving off of Boaz, and Boaz saying, well, I'm supposed to. I mean, Naomi is my kin because she was married to my brother. And then in the next pasuk, he says to her, "Ki yodea kol sharami ki eishes chayla." You are an eishes chayil. Well, according to that, you know, the line that I just said before, who's the best and most fitting person to marry an eishes chayil? A person who is a gibor chayil, and who's that? Boaz. And that's why when he concocts this plot, you know, he basically knows that Ploni Almoni is not going to come through, or maybe in terms of their plan, he's going to come through with flying colors to leave Ruz open to being taken by Boaz. And in Perek Dalet, that's exactly where I cut off, you know, from where Boaz. Yeah,
it's good because you can do it all with giving the benefit of the doubt. The question of whether or not you can marry a woman from Moab has not been determined yet. Right. So when you come to Ploni Almoni, who's not a Gadol Hador,
right,
he can't paskin. So when he's given the choice, he's got to make the right choice based on the halacha he knows.
Right, perhaps.
And Boaz, who happens to be a Gadol Hador, can turn around in Paskin, so then all of a sudden it's okay because he knows the halacha.
Right.
So Ploni Almoni never did anything wrong because he didn't know the right thing.
Right. There's certainly that perspective that could be, you know, Dan Lekav Schus for Ploni Almoni.
But everyone can do right within their own, that's the whole thing.
Right, right. So in Perek Dalet, Boaz says, okay, you know, now that he's recused himself, and now I'm going to, and I've taken Naomi's field, and I've also acquired Rus, and look at what the people say. And you never see this anywhere, right? We have examples left and right of people who could not give birth, and then it's time for them to give birth. And how does the Torah describe how... I mean, you know, in Sarah's case, Vashem Pakada Saraka Sharmar. In Chana's case, right? Similarly, it just says, you know, okay, Hashem heard her. Look at what it says here. Yitain Hashem, Perek Dalet. Yitain Hashem is Soisha Abal Beisecha Kirachel Uchlea Sherbanu Shtehem is Beis Israel. And Hashem should make this woman who's come to your house like Rachel and Leah, who built the house of Israel. Hey, you know, we're so familiar with the Simcha and Gefraim and Chemanasha. I mean, who uses this bracha? It's a beautiful bracha. Asher banu shnehem is Beis Yisrael. Asichayah be'efrasa. Next, v'hi be'ischa kaveis peretz asher yalbasa mar lihuda min hazera asher yitein Hashem l'cha. Again, it's all about God giving. Min hana'ara azos. V'ikach bo'az is rus v'tilo l'isha v'yavoy la v'yitein Hashem la hirayon v'teil ben. That's the language you never see anywhere. V'yitein Hashem la. Hey, Rayon, that God basically implanted the pregnancy in her.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm saying whatever it is. It's not a virgin birth. Obviously, she's very much not a virgin. But But in other words, the role that God is playing in making this happen, it's like a stamp of approval, in a sense, because we know the end of the Megillah describes how Rus leads up to David, and Rus is the matriarch of that family in the middle of, you know, in the middle of coming from Peretz, which comes from Yehuda, all the way for David, you have, you know, Rus thrown in there. And when she does give birth, so you have one of the few times in Tanakh where people say Baruch Hashem. Vatomarna Hanashim El Naami, Baruch Hashem Asher Lo Shebislach Goel Hayom, V'Yikarei Shemo Yisrael. The child is born, they call him Obed, and he's the father of Yishai, the father of David. So what do we have here? We have here a few important principles coming out in this Megillah. We have the concept of the treatment of the ger, the yasom le'amana, the ani v'lager. We have the concept of however love develops, or whatever it means to love the ger, and to love the re'acha. Right? I mean, what's, you know, Boaz views her like an equal. You know, in other words, if he's introduced to us as an ish gibor chayil, and later on he says to her, "You're an ishes chayil," that means he's basically saying, "Look, we're." You know, we're meant for each other. He's not saying it in those words. He's saying that we're meant for each other. And what does v'yachta l'reacha kamocha mean? That I'm treating you like I want to be treated. And if I know what I am, and I know what you are, and you know what I am, and you know what you are, well, isn't that, you know, it's like the greatest proposal ever. Well, if you see it and I see it, then what are we waiting for? And that's what you have. And that's the concept of v'yachta l'reacha kamocha. Especially, and one interpretation that I found about v'yachta l'reacha kamocha is v'yachta l'reacha kamocha means, it's like the word re'im, like re'im ha'ahuvim, that it's referring to spouses. So if that's what v'yachta l'reacha kamocha means, then Boaz is saying, let's do that. That's what we want. And then the other thing which comes out is this concept of v'yachta l'Hashem Elokecha. What does it mean to love God? Well, it begins by constantly having God's name on your lips. And everybody here is doing it. From Naomi, to Rus, to Boaz, to all the people around them. We're saying, look what Hashem gave you, look what Hashem did for you, look what Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. And so it's these themes which are brought out. In other words, when we think about the Torah, we think about what's the Torah all about. So the easy answer is mitzvahs, right? That's true. But we know that there are plenty of people, and I'm talking about in the global Jewish world, who don't do mitzvahs. And yet they say, no, but I'm Jewish. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that there are some things about what it means to be Jewish, which is based on Torah teachings, which any Jew can relate to. Mitzvahs aren't for everybody. No, it's unfortunate. It's not for everybody. But everybody can relate to chesed. Everyone can relate to...
the Judeo-Christian...
Same, call it wherever you will.
Or you have big philanthropists who don't keep anything else but the big ball and stuff.
Right. Okay, I'm saying chesed, right? Tzedakah, chesed, right? I mean, just but looking out for others, taking care of the other, looking out for your ben adam l'chavero in whatever way that you possibly can. And I think that those are the essential themes which come out from the Megillah, and it's done in a way that we see it through the eyes of the key players being Naomi, Rus, and Boaz. Because Naomi plays a role. She says, go, I don't want you to be a burden. I don't want to be a burden on you. Like, what do you, I'm an Alta Kaka lady. What do you, you know? What do you want
about,
to do?
What about the idea that they only actually cohabited that one time? Boaz died. Like,
okay. I mean, that's not pshat in the Megillah. I mean, I know what you mean, but it's not pshat in the Megillah. It doesn't change anything. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it does, but again, it's not pshat. I don't know that has to be the case. I mean, you can say that a person has a role in life, and Boaz's role was to impregnate Rose, and then he's done. Okay, fine, but it's not pshat. Pshat doesn't...
If this is a love story, then that's, you know,
But I don't think there's anything wrong with there being a love story.
I'm not saying there is.
Right.
I'm not saying anything wrong, but there's a little kibosh on it. A little bit.
Maybe. Well, certainly on that midrash, but not on the rest of the story. Okay, let's take a look at the last thing. And the last thing is the Gemara. And I think that this Gemara is essential to really understanding these themes as laid out. Okay, if we're talking about the treatment of all the needy kinds of people, or the people who need the most support, the ani, the ger, the yasom, the amana, and Rus embodies all of those, on the one hand. And then on the other hand, we're talking about loving all the types of fellow man that, and God, that you can. So how is it that you demonstrate your love for God? And that's what this Gemara talks about. Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Chanina." This is Gemara in Sota Daf Yudal Amar Alf. "Amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, Ma'ay Tichsev Acharei Hashem Lokechem Teleichu." What does it mean when the Torah says you should go after the ways of God? Well, after God you shall go. Can a person go after God? What does that mean? After the divine spirit? Says, God is a consuming fire. How can you follow a consuming fire? You'll get eaten alive. Rather, what it means is that a person should follow God's character traits, God's midos. Mahu malbish arumim, just as he clothes the naked. Tachsev vayas Hashem Elokim l'Adam l'ishto kasnos or vayavishem. God gave clothing to Adam and his wife. Afata albeish arumim, you too should have that character trait, that quality, and clothe the naked. Hakadosh Baruch Hu biker cholim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, God visited the sick. Tachsev, as it says, vayira elav Hashem be'elonim amrei, that God visited Avraham after his circumcision in the plains of Mamre. Afata b'ker cholim, you too should visit the sick. Hakadosh Baruch Hu nichem avelim, God comforted the mourner. Dechsev v'hi achrei mos Avraham v'ivarech lo Yitzchak b'no, that it was after Avraham's death that God blessed Yitzchak. What does it mean he blessed Yitzchak? Well, he comforted a mourner. Afata nachem avelim, you too need to comfort the mourners. Hakadosh Baruch Hu kavar meisim, God buried the dead. Dechsev v'yikbor oso Bagai, that God buried Moshe in the valley. Afata kavor meisim, you too shall bury the dead. Kasnos or clothing of skin. Rabu Shmuel, there's a debate between Rabu Shmuel as to what that means. Chadamar davar haba min haor, a product of skin, maybe it was an animal skin. Chadamar davar shahor nana mimenu, and the other one said it was a clothing that that skin benefits from. It was something which was comfortable. That what?
Like an ointment?
I don't know. Some say kosnos or means that they didn't have flesh before, that their body was something else. But anyway, I mean, it refers to clothing. So Darash Rabbi Simlai says, Torah tchilas agmilas chesed and misof agmilas chesed. Torah begins with chesed and ends with chesed. What's the beginning? The Torah began with God clothing the naked, clothing Adam and Chava. And it ends with Chesed, that God buried Moshe. I think that you know, in the context of our discussion, this Gemara is extremely poignant, and it makes and it drives the point home. How does a person love God? How do you love God?
Their
actions. By being like God. And so, and the Gemara gives us four examples of you know, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, comforting the mourner, and burying the dead. But in a sense, you know, you kind of see these in Megillas Rus as well. Right? I mean, you have Naomi talking about how Rus treated her after the death of her husband and her sons. So you have the comforting the mourner. You don't so much have visiting the sick, okay, because we don't see an indication of anybody being sick in here, but you certainly have what?
Comforting the mourner, the shot also that
right, Midrash, right, by Boaz, that his wife, right,
Hashem Yechem, right?
Yeah, so I mean, so you have that as well, but again, you don't have somebody being sick, but you definitely have the concept of the burial of the dead, which relates to the comforting of the mourner. In other words, whatever they did in terms of taking care of Mathon and Kilion, and then clothing the naked. I don't know how much clothing the naked, but what clothing the naked means, providing the essential needs of the less fortunate, the poor and the needy. And you have that as well in the Megillah. So in a sense, I think that the essential reminder that Megillah is giving to us on the day when we celebrate the receiving and the giving of the Torah is that if you cut away everything else, all the stuff, you know, all the, are you going to have a kula life or a chumra life? Are you going to be doing all the, you know, the bottom line is the Torah is a Torah of chesed, and the Torah's themes are, who are we going to take care of? Hey, bud, who are we going to take care of in the most elementary way that we need to, because we can, and because that's our responsibility. So on the holiday of the receiving of the Torah, we read Megillas Rus to serve as a reminder of these important principles, which are meant to be a guide of sorts for how we live our life. In other words, what's supposed to be the underlying theme and principle of every... Yeah, a person could do all the mitzvahs that they want, but if the person is an absolute J-E-R-K, then how much of those... What's the value of those mitzvahs? I mean, you could say that has value, but if a person is number one, first and foremost, a mensch, a bal chesed, whatever else, then everything else in some way will fall into place. Whether a person is observant of mitzvahs or is not observant of mitzvahs, that's, I would argue, not as important as, first and foremost, being a mensch. And why is a person being a mensch and being a bal chesed and such? Because that's what the Torah tells you. That's how the Torah tells us and dictates to us that this is the most essential element of how we're supposed to live our lives.
Isn't there a Gemara somewhere that talks about